der Digital Insurance Podcast. Seit 2020 die Nummer 1 für Strategie und Innovation in der Versicherungswirtschaft. Und ich bin Jonas Pieler. Als Entscheidungsträger in der Versicherungsbranche hast du mit Personalengpässen und zyklischen Rückständen zu kämpfen. Scali Insurance Operations stellt seit 20 Jahren Experten für alle Versicherungssparten zur Verfügung. Schnell verfügbar und flexibel skalierbar. Jetzt ein Angebot einholen unter www.scali.insure. Today ist die Vertriebs-AI für die Versicherungsbranche. Today dokumentiert deine Beratung, coacht dich und spart dir 5 Stunden Zeit pro Woche. Besuche jetzt www.usetoday.io und teste mit dem Code Jonas Today 2 Monate kostenfrei.
Hi, I'm here with Jesper Palmberg from InsurTech Insights. And today we are asking ourselves the question, Quo Vadis insurance industry? Welcome, Jesper.
Thank you so much, Alex.
Tell me something about the InsurTech Insights and what we can expect this year.
We got 2 conferences coming up this year. We have one in London in March, where we'll expect 5,000 attendees and 400 speakers with a lot of fun and interesting topics on really where the industry is going. So hopefully that will be something very extra to look forward. And then, of course, we also have our New York conference in June. So those are the 2 we're coming up now in the beginning of 2023.
Is there a particular speaker that you're looking forward to, or any sort of stage slot that you're really excited about?
There definitely is. I mean, my very interest within the industry, I'd say, is looking forward and see the new trends and see the new opportunities. And something that interests me personally is the technological advancement. So we're having one keynote speak from Ergo, Mark Klein, that's going to speak about the metaverse. So that one I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what sort of goals do you want to accomplish at the InsurTech Insights this year? What should an attendee expect?
Hopefully a conference where the content is really taking shape. We've tried to really address all the different areas of the industry this year, and we've added more stages to fit more panel topics. I think we're up nearing 150 different topics in the industry. So, and for me, I've kind of had like personal goal to really go beyond the very traditional themes and traditional panel topics, and really looking forward and bringing the conference to a place where the community can really discuss the future of the insurance industry in a way that maybe is not done as much previously. So that's my personal goal, to really have all aspects of the insurance industry covered during the conference.
Very interesting. I personally look forward to it. And speaking about the future of the insurance industry, let's talk a bit about trends. I mean, first of all, what do you think was the main trend in 2022? And what do you think the path is that the insurance industry will take from here?
Well, it's a very good question. And I think the beauty of what I am allowed to do now and what I'm doing is just to be on a lot of calls, essentially, to speak with the experts within the industry and really see what they think about it. And from those conversations, you could really map out that embedded insurance has been the defining word of 2022, looking at companies. And that has probably been the easiest panel to fill on the conference.
I can imagine.
A lot of them are really stressing that there's a need to cover the embedded panel topics and everyone want to be a part of it. So it's very fun to see. But yeah, I'd say that has been the word of 2022. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I noticed that as well. Everyone talks about embedded insurance and the importance of embedded insurance. I can definitely vouch for that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, speaking about the future, what do you think will be if we look back, or if we have this conversation in 1 year's time and we look back at 2023, what do you think will be the main, the main focus or the main topic?
Well, it's certainly a very difficult question to answer to. And probably I'm going to sit here in 1 year and realize that what I've said is probably not going to be the fact at all. But I really believe somewhere in the evolution of parametrics, that's something that I've also seen is something that pops up more and more and more and more parametrics firm that comes up, and more products that are leaning towards being reliant on the data and some triggers for it. So I think as we move forward, parametrics can really be a wild card from it, because I think it's so much benefits to it that there's really, when a defined event occurs and the index threshold is met, that the policy is triggered and the claims process just facilitates and becomes so much more efficient. It's a key strategic way to get closer to your customers and ensure that they are feeling their presence of their carrier and insurer. And I think as we move forward towards a more digital first mindset, many of the risks associated with the opportunities can be addressed with the help of the parametrics. So for instance, I was speaking quite recently with a company recently addressing the risk of downtime. And I think part of the potential lie in seeking solutions where this can be met, of course, and just ensuring the fact that we're living in an era where cyber attacks will be an even more increasing threat over the coming years, and really taking those data preventative approaches to be able to cope with those threats. I think there is a huge opportunity for just parametrics and that, and that companies will have more and more creative solutions to be able to address this. So maybe I'm entirely wrong, but I got my hopes up for it.
Well, I mean, people have been saying data is the new gold for like 10 years now, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And I think we're only seeing the very start of it, as many organizations are very data-driven and the decisions that they make is entirely based on data. We see a lot of measurements and we're really looking at targets from a data perspective. So everything is so data-centered. So I think it's natural to start develop product that are more data-centered and that can have more accurate measurements.
Doesn't that bring a lot of risk with it if you've got the wrong data, for example?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think just having the wrong data, we got to ensure then that we try to get the right data and ensure that the methods of getting the right one is really fit. But of course, that's also a challenge of itself and ensuring that we don't have any data bias. But then, of course, who creates the bias?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a good question and a great challenge and something that you definitely have to be aware of.
I mean, if I think about parametrics in insurance, obviously the first thing that comes to mind is weather data. Data and things like predicting hurricanes in Florida, for example. Yeah. Is there any other type of, I mean, of course, there must be other type of another type of data that can be of value for insurers or that will have a lot of value for insurers. But can you think of another example?
Of course. I mean, one thing that I really think is just increasing and will be more increasing in 2023 is the fact that we're having a very severe climate change that's going on. And for those things, when we see an increase in floods, we see an increase in some natural disasters, parametrics can be of a very big help of it. But I think that's just the tip of the iceberg of what the products can really offer and the potential of it, and much more lying in how insurtechs are being creative with the data and then compiling products from it. So for instance, like the downtime product where they see, okay, if you have a network issue and you cannot operate on your website for a brief time, or maybe you have a wide nation outbreak or whatever, you can very clearly see when it occurred and when it got resolved. And for that, you get a very direct approach in how to solve the problem. And really, the pricing gets very transparent in that way. So I think it's mostly on being creative with the data that we already have and see the different potentials with it, really.
Mm.
And I think as more and more firms are scrutinizing this opportunity, they see more gaps within the market and will start to form more products in accordingly.
Yeah.
So I think we can see a lot of new interesting products that we haven't seen before or haven't been able to do before. But now with so many firms really transforming their operations to be fully digital, and especially what we saw with COVID and how everyone coped with that, I think it's getting more and more easier to have a whole digital ecosystem and sharing data among different firms. But of course, there are many challenges to it as well.
No, of course. But I mean, do you think this is, I mean, obviously it is an opportunity for insurtechs to sort of move into that field and conquer that field. But don't you think that's also a risk, let me put it that way, that we will end up all using Google, Meta, and Amazon products because they will just jump into that space and dominate it?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely the big players. And I think Meta products, Google products, Amazon products, they're definitely profound players. But it's almost rather impossible, I would say, to ensure that you have a monopoly in that market. And I think as we move forward and new areas of the industry is being seen and new opportunities arises, that these insurtechs will have their products of their own and more challengers will come up and go against these big, big corporations. But of course, we'll probably have them there for a while. And I think so. But it's very interesting to see what the future will hold. And I was just last night, actually, it was quite funny when you sit on YouTube, really, and you follow some videos, or you start up viewing some puppies, having a nice time, and then just 5 minutes later, you end up clicking yourself into the very easily described video on quantum computing.
Yeah, of course.
And that was me yesterday. That was me last night, which was very, very nice because previously I haven't actually been as up to date with Neuralink. So one of the companies that Elon Musk has been heavily involved with. And I was so fascinated. I don't know. Have you seen the Neuralink? Have you seen that company?
Of course, I've seen this video of I think the it was a pig, and they could measure the brain frequencies of the pig. That
exactly.
was very interesting.
Exactly, and it's so interesting to see the development of that and how far we've come from the transition of just exploring and finding the internet itself to the smartphone era, and now moving forward to literally insert a chip inside you and inside your brain to be able to stimulate some nerves in your body to restore vision or restore some physical capabilities. For me, it's just an incredible opportunity to live in, and while it's also giving a lot of ethical challenges.
Of course.
But does this give the question of when do we stop talking about digital transformation and start talk about virtual transformation?
That's a good point.
It's very interesting to see. I mean, what products do you think can come out of that? It's amazing.
That's also a very large opportunity for investors, isn't it?
I can imagine. I mean, as much as for investors, as big corporate companies, as new creative individuals, to really see the new opportunity and be able to have like Neuralink, for instance, mm-hmm. that shows the way on what's possible, and then being able to really have that as a some sort of a template to be able to creatively come up with new ideas that either complements or taking heavily inspirations. But for investors in that space, I think they would be happy whenever a new space really opens up for big innovation and new products. That if I would have been in that position, I would definitely be happy for it.
Yeah, I can imagine. I bet large VC firms have already got an eye on it.
Yeah, yeah, they must, I guess. It's really the one that capitalized on it the first that wins. And I guess that's as often with most of the opportunities that arises.
Mm-hmm. Although actually at the moment, we can see investment being driven down a lot, can't we?
We can. 2023 will probably be a tough year for Series B and Series C funding from the feedback that I've received on hopping on the calls with different investors. Mm. Of course, there are some companies that will be able to do it because of some very good fundraising methods. We actually have a very interesting panel about that on the conference in March, where we have a company that's been very successful in really raising their Series B, although we see an economy that has difficulties to be able to provide that opportunity. I mean, looking at 2022 and 2021, all in all, 2021 was, I think it was the record year for how much InsurTech was really racing, mm-hmm. and comparing that to what is now is definitely a complete different market. So I think what investors really are looking for now from the feedback that I've received is that they want InsurTechs that really are profitable from day one. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the one that makes them attractive.
So it's the famous animal battle of zebras versus unicorns then?
Oh, yeah, but potentially. Maybe that gets even saturated this year. We'll see. But I think it's during the previous period of historic events into InsurTechs from investors, a business plan that really shows an ability to capture significant market shares and growth in the short to midterm has been and was the most attractive component. Mm. And with the recent economic downturn, as well as the challenging IPO endeavors of companies such as Lemonade and Hippo, the focus has more shifted towards InsurTechs who not only show strong long-term prospects, but have the ability to be very profitable in the short term. Mm. And I think that carriers all in all as well, they're looking for technology that will greatly impact internal processes as well, as the InsurTech space has been quite diluted with some distribution-oriented solutions. Or that's from of the conversations that's been in the US at least. So I think there's a lot of very interesting factors in moving into 2023. And there's definitely many other factors. And I think that the investors are probably the best ones to really answer for it.
So what I can hear from that is that you're definitely, you seem definitely to be Team Zebra then.
Well, potentially. I mean, I kind of want to have ideas and realize ideas that makes the good benefit for the overall society. And having the zebra as doing the double bottom line and instead of being all centered by just making as much money as possible to be able to give benefit to society is probably the race that I'm betting on. Mm. Mainly because I think kind of that the insurance industry has to take a more preventative approach towards customers and their product development. And I see that being a zebra and taking a more preventative approach and really looking after the customer is a very interesting space. I think that mostly if you divide up the insurance industry in different segments and you really break down the value chain to see what companies can do differently and how they can capitalize and be better than other firms, customer experience will always be the core concept of every part of the value chain.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't ensure that you have a distribution strategy that really times the customer and that you instill the feeling that the insurer will be there for you when you most need it. So for instance, looking at the new generation, when are they most inclined to be engaged with an insurer? Well, of course, when they move away from home and they have to take the responsibilities for their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you have to have a distribution strategy that ensures that you're there as an insurer for the new generation when they need it the most. That's the first experience that they would have with it. And if you can be able to take those consumers at the very beginning, well, then that's lays a strong foundation. And then, of course, moving on to the underwriting process and ensuring that it's a good customer-centric approach there and not bombarding, for instance, consumer and customers with questions and data, but instead facilitating so that they feel seen and that what the data that the companies need is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the claims journey. So I think just in general, the customer having a very customer-centric approach is so critical for all insurers. And there is a potential for insurers to be even more preventative and to get the perception of people that insurance is not something you buy, but rather something you engage with.
Absolutely.
And having your insurers take the more preventative approach and really looking after for you. So we had a very interesting conversation by the office recently,
mm-hmm.
where both in terms of mental health and the physical development of the body. So if you have a knee injury and you don't look it up and you don't address that injury, well, you cannot expect it to sort itself. Maybe it just escalates and becomes even worse. And then when you finally seek the medical attention for it that you need, then maybe that have accumulated to much bigger cost than it was from the very first place.
Mm-hmm.
And just looking at from an insurer's perspective on having an insurer that really takes that preventative measure to check in on the consumer and asking like a short checkup. I've seen some very interesting products in this space and been hearing some of it. But just taking that preventative approach of asking and ensuring that you could essentially almost be like a problem solver for the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you feel that you have something in your knee. Well, I've already scheduled you an appointment to the doctor. Go check it out. And then you could maybe even prevent a claim from ever happening or at least decreasing the total cost of it.
All while showing the customer that you care.
Exactly, exactly. And when you show that you care, when you build that trust, and when customers have been comforted, they feel that they're trusted, why would they want to change then? Why? So much lies in just being very comfortable and feeling that things are working. And I think that's the key factor to retaining customers, and something that I think can be, it's an opportunity that can be up for grabs, really.
Very interesting. So, well, to summarize then, 2023 will be the year of parametrics and the customer is still going to be king. Customers remaining the king. And of course, zebras are going to win the battles against unicorns.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Well, thank you very much for your time and for our discussion, Jesper. This has been a lot of fun. It's It's been amazing. I'm definitely looking forward to InsurTech Insights in 2023. And we should totally do this discussion again.
Definitely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, Alex, for this. And I've had so much fun. I've enjoyed it.
Me too. Thank you very much. Take care.
Thank you.
Das war der Digital Insurance Podcast. Folge uns bei LinkedIn und hinterlasse uns eine Bewertung in deiner Podcast-App. Vielen Dank, dein Jonas.